Hello and welcome to the Barton Legal Podcast. I'm Bill Barton, a solicitor who lives and breathes construction and engineering law. At Barton Legal, we help clients in the UK and around the world on everything from litigation and arbitration to drafting and negotiating contracts. And in this podcast, we unpack the latest legal trends and problems facing the industry, providing you with straight-talking insights to help break down these complex legal questions. So, let's get on with today's episode. Hi, this is Bill Barton. Here is another Barton Legal podcast on one of our legal topics, where I'm seeking to give you an explanation as to some legal terms and issues. Obviously, I'm not going to make you an expert in 10 minutes, but it's to give you a heads up and give you a feel for what is sometimes considered to be a tricky or complex subject. Today, we're going to be looking at frustration. So what happens to a contract and how does this arise? And it's all about when circumstances change. So what is frustration? Well, essentially, frustration is operated where there's a change of circumstances in the way in which a contract is being operated or happens. So where the contract has become impossible to perform, or it's so substantially different that it's no longer the same contract, that is frustration. Or where a contract is frustrated by both parties, then they're discharged from their contractual obligations. But when will that happen? And how do you know when a contract has been frustrated? Well, so you ask yourself a very simple question. Has the contract allocated the risk of the particular event occurring? Frustration can only happen where the risk of an event occurring has not been thought about. So if you've dealt with it within the contractual terms and conditions, it's unlikely that the general principle of frustration is going to apply. So as I say, if there's an express clause in the contract intended to deal with the event which has occurred, that is unlikely to be frustration because you're then operating the contractual mechanism. Now, there's a lot of very old case law. The one I'm referring to is called the Penelope, and it's from 1928, so it really is cracking on a bit. And this was about the general coal strike of 1926, which frustrated a time charter, so it's charter of a boat, under which a ship was to carry successive cargoes of coal from South Wales over a 12-month period. And although the maritime law contract contained strike provisions, these were held by the court to only contemplate a local withdrawal of labour and not to factor in the impossibility of any export of coal for more than 8 months. And in that instance, it was held that the contract was frustrated. So that you can see, even though there was a term, it didn't precisely cover the issues involved, and the operation of the contract was prevented from occurring. You can also ask, has there been a radical change in the party's obligations? And for that, you need to think about what amounts to a radical change. Well, it might be a non-occurrence of an event. It might be increased expense, but this isn't sort of just a nominal. This is very substantial increase. It might be the destruction of the subject matter of the contract or what was being negotiated between the parties, but again, that isn't covered by the contractual terms. It may be illegality, that something might have been a change in law or something that is illegal. It might be because a contract cannot be performed in the specified manner. So, and again, where the contract itself hasn't provided for that. It could be an outbreak of war, or it could just be substantial delay or interruption. So the contract will depend in these circumstances on an event taking place to function in order for there to be frustration. So another example is where a defendant hired a flat on Pall Mall for the sole purpose of viewing King Edward VII's coronation. Due to the king's illness, the coronation was cancelled, and consequently the defendant didn't use the flat and claimed the remaining amount of the money that they'd already paid, claimed that back. And what happened, and did they get the money back? Well, the contract was held by the court to have been frustrated, as cancellation of the coronation deprived the contract of the commercial purpose, i.e. hiring the room to be able to see the coronation. But you also have to ask, was, if it was a radical change, was it self-induced? Because frustration cannot happen if it has been self-induced or created by one of the parties. So another example from much more recently, 1990, where a party agreed to transport a rig using a boat called the Super Servant 2, which sank. And the party claimed that the sinking of the boat had frustrated the contract. But the Court of Appeal found that the contract was not frustrated because the defendant, who was party to the contract, had failed to take proper care of the boat. And therefore, it was the failure to take care rather than the failure to perform that frustrated the contract, and that was a breach of the party. It wasn't something effectively outside of their control. But what are the other legal effects of frustration? Well, you've got the Law Reform Frustrated Contracts Act 1943, and if you come within that act, then both parties are discharge from future obligations, parties can recover payments, and if one party has incurred costs before the frustrating events occurred, the court may order the other party to share the cost, subject to restrictions as to actual cost and as to the amount payable up to the event of frustration. And if one party has received a benefit from the other party before frustration, the former party needs to pay the latter up to the actual value of the benefit. So there you go, frustration. So in simple terms, look in your contract. If it appears that the event is covered by your contract, it's unlikely that you'll be able to rely on the principle of frustration. However, if your contract is silent and you can show that the contract has now become impossible, and that's the easiest version to perform, then you might be able to rely on the doctrine of frustration. If you've got any more questions, then do let me know, or just have a look at our website, which is www.bartonlegal.com. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you for joining me for today's Barton Legal podcast. Please make sure you follow the show in your podcast app to get new episodes as soon as they're released. We'll be tackling another important topic in this month's Barton Legal webinar, and you can register for free and watch back our previous webinars at bartonlegal.com. Why don't you connect with me on LinkedIn and follow Barton Legal to keep up to date with all the legal trends and news? I look forward to speaking to you again in the next Barton Legal podcast.